Let's bow our heads in a spirit of prayer. Loving and mighty God, at this hour and this minute, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our deliverer. Amen. You know, we kind of forget it because we carry these things around with us all the time, but you know, these little things are just short of being a miracle. And we've gotten so used to them, but what we can do with these is astonishing. Sure, we can talk to people on them. You know, we've had that for a while. And sure, we can text and we can check our email. But wow, I mean, you know, I can do all my banking on here. My daughter up in Humboldt State can go to brunch this morning, realize while she's eating that she doesn't have enough money in her checking account to cover brunch. She's a poor college student. And I can have her debit card loaded up before it's even taken up to the cashier just from standing right here. We can look up in an instant how old Anastasia was when she and her family were murdered in Russia, or who claimed later on that they were actually Anastasia and had survived. You know, one of my favorite things is the Google Sky Map, you know, where we could sit here and see what stars are directly overhead right now, even though it's daylight. You know, I have heard that, I think I believe it, that there is more computing power in this little thing than was in the Apollo spacecraft that went to the moon. Is that correct, Joy? Yeah.
That was a very
primitive. Yeah. Well, and it is correct that I have heard that, so I can definitely attest to that. It's amazing, and I really have to wonder how this dusty old storybook of ours can stand up to this shiny new device. You know, the Pew Research Council came out this week with yet another report that Americans are becoming less and less religious, and especially millennials, the younger generation, claiming more and more not to have any religious affiliation at all. And who can blame them? I mean, we have all these old fossilized stories in here, told in a manner that doesn't quite meet with modern literature. I guess we have a good example in our reading from the Psalms this morning. Let's see here. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Well, we don't need an awful lot of imagination to understand that, you know, a house is not really what's being described here. Contractors and carpenters and four walls. Or wall, if we're considering the Flintstone house. Does everybody here know the Flintstone house?
Yes.
All right, that shows that we're Bay Area people. Flintstone house. It's alongside 280 in Hillsboro. You can buy it. It's on the market. It's listed for $4.2 million, which in Hillsboro pretty much qualifies it as a fixer-upper. But the house, a physical house, is not meant here. It's us. Unless we are built, our house is all of our experiences, all of our relationships, all of the circumstances of our life, everything that makes us up, our soul, you could almost say. Unless the Lord helps in building it, we're just building up treasures that can rust and be eaten by moths. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. Can read that in the same way. We can understand that. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Well, in this hyper-inflated industry and economy in San Francisco, that kind of goes in one ear and out the other, you know, in a world where people are afraid to take their vacation, let alone go home at quitting time. But then we come to sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord. Sons only. And this is not a bad translation. The Hebrew word is a masculine noun. In the last year, I've gone to worship service a few times at a church that is entirely devoted to feminist theology. Some of my seminary classmates are involved there, and I'm very interested to see what they're doing. And it's interesting. It's fun. They are clandestinely Christian. There is no question about it. It's actually a ministry of the Lutheran Church. But they do not pray to God. They pray to the goddess. They do not invoke the sky father, but rather the earth mother. And it's all actually quite, quite beautiful to me. Because I understand their feelings about patriarchy. And I can confidently predict to you that this morning they did not read in her church that sons are a heritage from the Lord. And we are not here to use this to rekindle a patriarchal society. We are all aware of the almost infinite harms and damages that entrenched patriarchy has caused over the years, and not just to women. Gloria Steinem, one of my heroes, is on a book tour once again, and I've heard a couple of interviews with her. In every interview, she rails against patriarchy. You know, this is a problem caused by patriarchy. So, we do have to admit that 3,000 years ago, this story is written to a patriarchal audience. And maybe we can try to glean from that what they meant. And in such a society, a son would be considered the greatest, the most treasured and valued gift that could be given. And so what can we substitute for today? Well, I thought, well, maybe we could say it a career, which I realize is a very San Francisco thing to say right now, because I don't believe in other parts of the country that people are that involved in their career the way we are here, almost out of fear. They're happy to have a good job and then go about their lives. Could we substitute friends? Well, friends are indeed a blessing, but somehow they just don't have the permanence, you know, as implied with sons. How about health? Certainly health is a blessing. But what if you know that you are a good person, but your health is slipping away from you? Are you cursed? We have a different and a very definite answer, though, in this church. In our New Testament reading, in the reading from Hebrews this morning, we are told that Christ will appear a second time for those who eagerly wait for him. And remember, this Christ is the one who said, "I have not come to abolish the prophets and the law." In other words, the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish, but rather to fulfill. And we believe that this second coming, this fulfillment for which we have eagerly waited, in this church we believe that this has already occurred in spirit, inasmuch as a deeper and a spiritual understanding has been illuminated for us in the Word a liberal reading rather than a literal one, inspired particularly by the insights and revelations of one of the great intellectuals of the Age of Enlightenment, Emanuel Swedenborg. And Swedenborg's gift was seeing that seemingly mundane terms in the Word actually had remarkable inner meaning and depth. And among those terms that he keyed on was sons and daughters, as in our reading in our bulletin today. Let's look at it. It's in the middle of your bulletin under the picture of Swedenborg. He says, the symbolism of sons and daughters as the truth and goodness of this church perceived. Sons being the truth and daughters the goodness can be seen in many places in the prophets. And he gives some examples in here. He gives many examples, as a matter of fact. I edited this little section down just so it was short and invited you to read it. He has half a dozen examples of how sons means truth in there. And this is section number 489 from his magnum opus, The Arcana Celestia, The Secrets of Heaven. Section 489 out of almost 11,000 sections. In my copy of the Arcana, this is on page 244 in a work that runs to more than 8,000 pages. This is a fundamental concept, and he repeats it for us again and again, that when we see the idea of sons brought forward, it means the truth. He doesn't give any explanation for why this works. No rationale for it. He just merely makes this observation. I have read the Word again and again, and I have come to see that when sons are mentioned, it means the truth. Now, before I start to object myself to this extremely light logical evidence, I plug this interpretation into the scriptures, and I find myself awed by the results, as in our Old Testament reading today. So let's review that. Sons are indeed truth, is indeed a heritage from the Lord. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the truths of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And the most awesome of all evidences of this from Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The truth. And here is the truth. The truth is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The truth is God, and God is love. It's almost a yin-yang kind of a thing. But all truths ultimately flow out of the great divine truth of love. Love is the very being. Love simply is. I am that I am. Truth brings that being into existence, in some ways into what we sort of think of as material reality. But it always points back to the being, to love. I know it's all a bit circular. So to be straight, the lesson from today is to live, to walk in the light of that truth. Love. Show people the truth of love in all that you say and do. I am pretty confident that all of you do this already, or at least we all try our best to do it, even if we fail. But we're called to be evangelists, to tell the truth. And I don't mean to bludgeon strangers with impromptu and uninvited sermons. You know, for better or for worse, you people give me permission to drone on and on up here. But be willing to say openly and in the public square, give thanks to God. Or, this is in God's hands. Let us pray that God will guide us. It just might be that one of these unchurched, unreligious people may hear you and think to themselves, gosh, this is such a good person here, and not afraid to invoke the divine. Your evangelism just might change someone else's life. And remember and be assured that we shall not be shamed when we speak God's truth at the gate. Amen.